At the beginning of the Revi'i Aliyah, it says, Ve'ila toldos Aaron and Moshe. Okay, who are the progeny of Aaron and Moshe? Then it goes on in Pasuk Beis, Ve'ila shmos b'nei Aaron. These are the names of the children of Aaron, HaBechor, Nadav, Vavihu, Elazar, Visamar. Those are all Aaron's children. Where is there a list of Moshe's children? Moshe had two children, Gershom and Eliezer. Where are they? So listen to what the Rav said. These are the descendants of Aaron and Moses. We are all acquainted with the Akedah that Avram performed. But we do not pay sufficient attention to an Akedah that was carried out by Moshe. Moshe's Akedah was perhaps more awesome and terrifying than Avraham's. After Avraham offered Yitzhak, the two of them returned from Har Moriah with great happiness. Moshe never experienced this satisfaction. In his case, the Ribono Sha'olam requested and he received Moshe's sacrifice. The simple right to leave a last will and testament, to die in one's own bed, surrounded by his children, that was denied to Moshe. Moshe died alone on a mountain. Before he died, he did not lay his hands on Gershom or Eliezer, his children, but rather it was on Yoshua ben Nun. Moshe's power was bestowed on Yoshua and not on his own children. More tragic still was the fact that Moshe's children do not appear in the book of Jewish genealogy. Moshe twice counted the Jews, and he also counted his own tribe, the tribe of Levi. Initially, the Torah states, these are the descendants of Aaron and Moshe on the day that the Lord spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai. The Torah should have listed the generations of Moshe, his own children, along with the generations of Aaron. Yet the subsequent verses ignore Moshe entirely, and they center around Aaron alone. These are the names of the sons of Aaron. Nadav is the Bechor, Avihu, Elazar, Itamar. Where are Moshe's children? The Torah is silent. Where are the generations of Moshe? The Torah does not tell us. Moshe did not merit the normal satisfaction of any basar v'dam, to be reborn through a child, to live again through the child, to feel the great joy that upon his own death, his children, his progeny, will remain. Moshe had two children, and of course he loved them both, the same way that Avram loved Yitzchak. But the Ribono Sha'olam asked both Avraham and Moshe to give up their children, to sacrifice them on an Akedah, on an altar. Unlike Avraham, there was no Malach, no angel called to Moshe, Al tishlach yadcha el hanar, Al taslo me'uma. Don't stretch forth your hand to the lad, don't do anything to him. The knife mercilessly tore apart the relationship between Moshe and his children Gershom and Eliezer. You know, in Sefer Shoftim, in Perek Yud Ches, Moshe's son Gershom is not designated as Gershom ben Moshe, but ben Menashe. So the Gemara in Bava Basra, in Kuf Tes Amud Beis, it says, because Moshe's children no longer belong to him. For the one who is mekabel the Torah, for the teacher of Klal Yisrael, it is prohibited to have a connection to one's family. He is the father of Israel, of every Jew amongst Klal Yisrael, and every Jew has an equal share in him. It is prohibited for one individual to have a closer relationship than anyone else. Moshe's Torah scroll must be inherited equitably by all Jews. The Torah is analogized to a midbar, to a desert, in the sense that it is free to all for the taking. The one who received the Torah, in this sense, is also a desert, belonging to everyone. At the Sneh, Hashem told Moshe, Sha'al na'alecha me'al raglecha. Take off your shoes, take them off your feet, because this place is Admas Kodesh. This is holy soil. What Sha'al na'alecha me'al raglecha? Take your shoes off of your feet. Cast off any private matters, your human personal needs, because this place, which you stand, is Admas Kodesh, is holy soil. Because your place in the history of Israel is filled with kedusha and tahara. It is prohibited for you to involve yourself in a private family life. And this was the Akedah. This was the sacrifice of Moshe. Not only did Moshe have to divorce his wife, Tzipporah, but he divorced his own children. And that was his Akedah, the basic need and desire that every parent has for their children. Because Moshe was a one-time figure in Jewish history. As the one who would play the role of the Nosei Natorah, every Jew was his child. Every member of Klal Yisrael he was responsible for. The next point we're going to make is not in Parshas Bamidbar, but because Parshas Bamidbar is always the prelude to Shavuos, to Matan Torah, we're going to make a comment associated with Har Sinai and with Shavuos. You know, the Decalogue does not start, the Aseres HaDibros does not start with Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. It starts V'yedaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ha'ela le'mor. Hashem said, kol hadvarim. And Rashi there, quoting the Mechilta, Rashi and Shmos quoting the Mechilta says the following. You know, the word kol in Hebrew can mean one of two things. It can mean all the parts. I'll give you an example. If there are 18 people in the class, and I say, is each and every one here? And then we count. Well, there's 18 unique, discrete students. But if I say my whole body is not two eyes and two lungs and two kidneys and a liver. No, it's an organic entity. It's a unity. Okay? Kol can either mean the sum of the parts or it can mean an organic entity. And here Rashi quoting the Mechilta, and the Rav explained this Mechilta beautifully, is saying the following. What did Hashem do? Before he went into the specifics and the details, the Jews who had been preparing for this moment now for over a year in Mitzrayim, 7 weeks of education, of tutelage under Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, from the time they had left Mitzrayim, there was very little traveling. At Mara they were learning and studying. They were studying at Rephidim. They were studying for the week preparing at Har Sinai. And they're ready now to leave the status of being B'nai Noach and to engage in this covenant where they would become B'nai Yisrael. They would leave the realm, so to speak, of the covenant of Sheva Mitzvos, and through Taryag Mitzvos, they would become a partner to the Almighty, a unique, distinct nation, a unique, distinct entity, committed to a covenant of perfected ethical monotheism, where they would become the Almighty's partner, Hashem's partner, in the transformation of the destiny of humanity. And they're ready to hear this covenant, and they're ready to commit to it. And what's the first thing they hear? A cacophony. They hear all 10 of the Dibros said in one shot. Now, you and I know if you have 10 grandchildren, and they're all talking at once, you hear nothing. All you hear is noise. You can't make out anything. You talk about an anticlimactic moment. They've been waiting for a year and a quarter for this moment, maybe a year and a half for this moment. And they just hear a cacophony, noise. Why did Hashem do that? Because afterwards, he's going to have to go into the specifics and go and spell out each and every one of the Decalogue of the Aseres HaDvarim. What's the idea? What was Hashem doing? By that moment, the very first communication they would hear from the Almighty was 10 things said at once, a cacophony, something that they can't comprehend. Why? What was the purpose of that? And the purpose, the Rav explained, explaining the Mechilta that Rashi quotes, what's called? Before we go into any specifics, you have to adopt this system, the Torah. The Torah is an organic entity. It's a unity. If you're going to pick and choose, you know, this I'll do and this I won't do. You know, I'm into the theological, but I'm not into paying taxes or paying my workers on the books. I'd rather pay them off the books. Uh-uh. If you're a person that says, oh, I'm very committed to tzedakah and I'm very committed to integrity and no lashon hara, but I'm a good Jew at heart. I don't need to keep kosher. I don't need to go to the mikveh. I don't need to keep Shabbos. Stay a Gentile. There's nothing wrong with being B'nai Noach. According to the French and German Rishonim, our avos and imos were B'nai Noach. They were extremely perfected people. They're our role models. They weren't Jews. They were B'nai Noach who kept individual mitzvahs above and beyond. But if you want to commit to this covenant, you want to become a Jew, you can't pick and choose. You can't be a schizophrenic Jew. You can't be a Jew, you know, who when it comes to wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin and keeping Rabbeinu Tam's man after Shabbos, very makbid. But we can't trust you in business. You're not a person of your word. You negotiate a deal and then you renegotiate it. Uh-uh. That's not what it means to be a Jew. We don't need that. If you're not going to take the whole system as an organic unity, then please stay B'nai Noach. There's nothing wrong with being a righteous Gentile. But perfected ethical monotheism, to be the people of the covenant, the Am Segula, the Mamleches Kohanim, that will transform the destiny of humanity, you can't have a corrupted system and a corrupted religion. You can't have the ethical without the theological, and you can't have the theological, the Bein Adam L'Makom, without the moral and ethical, the Bein Adam L'Chavero. And that's the idea of Kol HaDvarim. It has to be an organic entity. It has to be unity. If you're willing to take and adopt the whole system, now we can explain and go into the specifics. But that was the most important and first crucial stage of the covenant at Sinai. Is Kol HaDvarim Ha'ela.